Since I met Chuck, I've been working on this split rapture. And I'm working on it now. It's an interesting thing. I wouldn't be surprised if I do believe in it, but somehow or other there's something about it I need to get adjusted. Now, you know, after you've been waiting for something for a long time, and I've taught the Daniel 70 a week for, I guess, 40 years. And after you've waited for something for a long time and you've been sure that you got the first part of it right, and then you stop and tell people, I'm not going to put any more out until I'm really sure I'm right about this second part. Well, I've decided I'm right about the second part. And it's going to be curious to me to see my reaction and your reaction when this great earthquake occurs. And the sequence on it literally demands that it occurs about the time that Israel attacks the king of the north. That's when I think the actual rapture will occur, about that time. You know, that's not too far off. And I've been watching all this stuff that's going on television. And if there ever was a time of thorough confusion on this earth, it's right now. And all the things that we're supposed to be visited with, when I first put the Daniel's 70 weeks together, I couldn't really make up my mind completely if they used a year that had 360 days in it, and there are other nations that used different days and tried to adjust it by something like we do leap year. But I went ahead and used the year with 360 days in it, and I'm glad I did. But I went back and calculated all the way back to Seal 6, and it indicated that we were going to have wars and bloodshed, Lord knows what else, during the First World War and the Second World War. We did have tremendous bloodshed. Those were bloody wars, and a lot of people died in them. They didn't have good protection. They used mustard gas, and some that was even worse. So I became convinced that these men that wrote before 1730 were correct. And I had no idea how many of them were correct at that time, because I was taught the seven trumpet rapture when I was a young man a long time ago. We didn't have a Missionary Baptist Seminary when I was growing up down in Little Rock. We later got one down in Sheridan, but Missionary Baptist Seminaries were just, I think the one at Sheridan was the first one we ever had, and that was years ago. And the three men started it. Ben Bogart was one of them. The other was Conrad Glover. And the other was, I can't think of his name, but I knew him, but he was the smartest of all three of them.
It wasn't L.D. Foreman, was it?
No. L.D. came actually after them. His proteges were Hoyt Chastain. And L.D. Foreman had one problem that was difficult to deal with, and I walked my way around it for years. he really thought I was his cat's meow, because whenever I came up there, I didn't know him when I came back from service, and he found out that I believed in the I believed in what he believed in. And he was terribly racially prejudiced. And I knew that, and so I didn't lie to him or anything, but I gradually got him in discussion about it. And last time I saw LD, I loved him. He was a wonderful man. And he had mellowed quite a bit, but he was going over to a mission work they had in the Pacific Ocean, a little small place. And I talked in earnest to him about it, because he was older than I was, and I didn't know how much longer he was going to last. He was considering the fact that he was racially prejudiced. And we talked about it, and we were good friends, and he put his stuff in the last book he ever wrote. He ran all my stuff in it, every bit of it. And but he got over there and he was baptizing, and had a heart attack while he was baptizing over there in the Solomon Islands, I believe. And I never got to finish the discourse with him, but I thought very highly of him. And his proteges were Hoyt Chastain, and there was another one. And those, when he died, they pretty well, Paul Goodwin. And Paul Goodwin, I love Paul. He's dead now. I loved all those old boys. I really did. But Paul wanted to be president of that school so much. It just showed. Everybody knew it. He wanted to be president of that school. So after LD died, he really worked hard at getting to be the president of that school. And so they had two girls came to the school from California. And so they enrolled in school, and they did pretty good. They had good scores and everything. And I know people asking, where do they work? You know, I didn't know. And I thought, well, I don't really care where they were. They were nice-looking girls. I was more concerned about how they looked and where they worked. And finally, they found out why they had a super apartment. They were both prostitutes, and they had this house of ill repute that they were running over there, and they were going to the seminary, and that was their job. Well, Paul told me, so I don't know who he told. It wasn't me, but he passed on to me, don't ever want to be president of the seminary, because it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of trouble. And I knew an awful lot about school, because I went, I dated Peggy Grable, who was the secretary before she ever met her husband. And he was a highly respected deacon. And sometimes things happen in those families. And you get so much stuff stored up here, you say, Mel. And I kept my mouth shut, but I discovered that life's real. And after we had all these children, I discovered how real it was. Now this is, I call it love number 10. And when this says, for we shall see him as he is. I suspect that the ones that are under the throne in the sixth chapter of, in the fifth chapter of Revelation, those that are under the throne, they're naturally inside the city, and they're not put in a, put in a cage-like structure and have to stay there till they just live inside the city. What they really want is to come back to earth for their glorified bodies. And I've been through all that with you. And because I used 360 days, I knew that World War I and World War II were that bloody period. And when the war broke out, that has gone on for 4 to 6 years in Syria and Iran, Iraq, when that started and all the thousands of people died, I knew that we hadn't come to the time where the earthquakes, the great earthquakes, were due to come and start. But I did know, because God made sure I was a geologist. It never was my choice. But I did know that we had 5 earthquakes in a short period of time, several years ago, that were so violent, particularly around the rim of volcanic activity that surrounds the Pacific Ocean, that it caused the interior, the center of the earth, to shift. There was a displacement in them, with them. And I knew that this thing was coming up, and I knew that it wasn't going to be a long way off, so I started telling people, I said, this isn't a long way off. I said, this thing's going to pop up and surprise a lot of people. Well, it's still going to surprise a lot of people. But get ready to be surprised, because the next major event is going to be when Israel attacks the coalition to the north of Israel. And you're going to have a coalition up there between Syria and Iran and Hezbollah and Lebanon. When's that going to happen? It's going to happen after all this stuff settles down a little up there in Washington. That's the biggest mess I've ever seen in my life. That's not just tectonic chaos. That's complete chaos in every way. It is the most ungodly mess I have ever seen in my life. I've never seen such hypocrisy on both sides. And so I'm sure. So you're going to be able to tell if I'm on the right track, because the Bible indicates that the king of the south will attack. And it occurs after the earthquakes, about the time the earthquakes occur. And I believe it's the time of the rapture. And I think that's when we're going to be taken out. I will be very surprised if Israel does not attack that coalition that's given Trump so much problem, plus his own internal problems, which are a conspiracy, and inside his own presidency, his own government. So we're going to be shocked. Now, I won't be as shocked as the rest of you, because I've checked all this stuff out backwards, forwards, and sideways. And I'm wise enough to know that there may be some minor fluctuations in what I've put out, but there won't be many, or there may not be any. But one thing sure, we don't have very long on this earth. When you see a great earthquake break out, and it extends all the way up into Italy, goes all the way down through Turkey, goes all the way down through, and incidentally, Turkey will be among those who come against the king of the south, and goes all the way down through the Jordan River Valley, and goes out into the Red Sea. When you see that happen, you're going to be surprised. I kept up with earthquakes for years. I did it in such a way that they were accurate. I got them from the National Security. The National Radar Association and the Weather Bureau and the scientific section of the large lab they have up in Colorado. And I double-checked them to make sure they were right. They went up like this. They're still going up. You say, well, why did you quit showing them to us? I got tired of it. I said, this is ridiculous. These things are going up. Why should I go in there and do that every time? But if anybody came to me and asked me to do it, if the church thought it was important, I'd do it. But I became convinced that this was something God taught me, and I wouldn't give it up. Now, we're about to have a tremendous earthquake that will go all the way up into Italy. And I was wondering, when's this going to start? And then the earthquake started up there. It's interesting where they started. Can you remember that when I surveyed up in Italy, and we flew over and I showed you on the map? There's a little volcano up there just northeast of the city of Rome. It is so old they don't have any idea how old it is. But you can fly over it, you can see it. They have no historical evidence, no historical pictures or evidence that it ever erupted. But it had to. That's where all those earthquakes are occurring right now. Rome is supposed to burn. And that thing's going off. It's going to go off in coordination with the earthquakes that began down in Israel. And when those earthquakes begin to occur, you won't have to wonder, is this the last day? You won't have to believe what I say, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's on us. I used to worry about what's going to happen if I'm wrong. I don't worry about that anymore, because I'm convinced God taught me what I'm telling you. And when I got to the point where I said, man, there's something about to happen here, and I said, okay, I'm just going to cut this thing off, and that was last year in January, and not this year, but the year before. And I didn't, but I'm going to start, because Israel is going to attack. And when they attacked, you're going to have a rapture. And then we're going to have a millennial reign. And I'm trying to work out how this rapture that Chuck's daddy believed in and that he believed in, I've suspected it for a long time. But I've never been able to put things together where I could be sure. I think I'm pretty close to doing that, if the Lord will let me, if that's what he wants. But you know this angel that flies through the air? The angel that flies through the air? The word is angelos. Do you know that means, do you know angels don't have wings? You say, well, they'd have to fly through the air. Well, has God got legs? You know, a teacher asked me that one time, and I gave an answer, but it covered a lot. I said, if God wants to have legs. But the truth is, we're finally at that point. And another reason I know that we're at that point is because people have lost interest in the coming of Christ. They've just lost interest in it. Even those that are people that have looked for his coming for years. They're just waiting away from it. Now it says, Revelation 6:12. That is the time of the great earthquake. That great earthquake is going to run all the way from Italy, clean down through. Well, this isn't unusual. It's just unusual that that earthquake, that little volcano there, where it's located, and it's so old they have no idea when it happened. It's beyond dating. And I think God's going to open that thing up. But in any case, we're going to have a great revelation. And we still haven't had the great earthquake in the Jordan River Valley. That's about to occur. Now, we're just finishing up with the fifth seal. And everything in there has to do with Daniel's 70th week. And pretty soon, when that great earthquake occurs, there won't be any doubt in my mind or your mind whatsoever that we're in the last days. I tell you what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping all the people, I've been associated with this for a long time. And did you see those crocodile tears that were shed by our... They're fake. I never saw anything like it in my life. And there's going to be lots of crocodile tears. The people are going to have to crawl back into church because they're going to realize. And even if it's not this church, they're going to come back into some church that's at least preaching what I would have called semi-truth. And I'm hoping that's going to happen because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he extended grace to them, and many of them received it. They didn't realize that they were saved by grace because they accepted it and believed it. But that's an automatic part of it when they accept the grace. Begin quote from chapter 1. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the words that are used in here, the creature, it's two different words. And what this creature is the creation itself that God made, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Means you'll be able to see them. Means they'll be able to see you. It means in heaven, for the first time, they can see him as he is. So this is a manifestation of the sons of God. We will see one another. And God will destroy man with the earth. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That was written by Paul in Romans 8:19-22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Before the sons of God appear in glorious manifestation on the millennial earth, there is to be a groaning of God's creation, and the earth will travail like a woman experiencing birth pangs. Birth pangs were occasionally felt in the earth's crust by seismic shakings during the time of Paul's writings. But Matthew indicated they would increase noticeably even before the tribulation period, in a period of time known as the beginning of sorrows. I have begun to believe that some 43 years ago, because the words that are used don't leave any doubt. And I tried to base everything I believed on what the Bible said, and I found in the cases that it made a lot of sense. God did it. And I thought, that can't be by chance. Before the sons appear in glorious manifestation on the millennial earth, there is to be a groaning of God's creation. And the earth will travail like a woman experiencing birth pangs.
Birth pangs were occasionally felt in the earth's crust by seismic shakings during the time of Paul's writings. They've always occurred. But Matthew indicated they would increase noticeably even before the tribulation period, what people call the tribulation period, in a period of time identified as the beginning of sorrows. World War I and World War II marked the beginning of sorrows. You and I didn't live through that. And except my grandfather and grandmother drug me to church, and they taught the seventh trumpet rapture, and they even talked about Daniel's 70th week. And that's when I got interested. You say, well, you know, it seems funny that God would choose a bunch of people out in the woods. They're people made fun of because they only finished the third, fourth grade. Some of them went all the way to the ninth. They had to work during the little time they had off. But they were really smart people. They had to improvise. They had to learn to live within the limits of their abilities. And a lot of these people today that come out of college and universities, you put them in the kind of environment they had to live in, they'd starve to death. And that's just the way it is. Before the sons of God appear in glorious manifestation on the millennial earth, there is to be a groaning of God's creation, and the earth will travail like a woman experiencing birth pangs. Birth pangs, back then, they didn't have hospitals where you went to the hospital and they had all kind of painkillers, all this and that. So what happened during a breech birth? If God didn't get the woman through the breech birth, she died. And the screams of these women, they usually had a woman come that was noted for being able to deliver babies. And once in a while, they'd get a breech birth out. But if the woman had a small, I don't know what you call it, but I've forgotten.
Pelvis.
What?
Pelvis.
Small pelvis. Why do you forget stuff like that? I don't know. It's probably stuff on bathroom walls that reminds you of it. In any case, women that had a small pelvis died. And their screams could be heard for miles, they said. Because giving birth to a child is hard enough. But when you die in the pain and you can hear the screams, you say, well, why are you telling us that? I've got a specific reason. The husbands didn't go in with the wife back when a midwife delivered the child. And so husbands didn't go in with a wife and watch that bloody experience. And so since they didn't go in, they could hear, and they knew that Hades was breaking loose in pain, and they knew their wife died. So when you talk about birth pangs, you're not talking about a hospital. You're talking about something women had to go through, and a lot of them died in it. And he says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. Before the sons of God appear in glorious manifestation on the millennial earth, there is to be a groaning of God's creation, and the earth will travail like a woman experiencing birth pangs. I want you to get a picture of what this is like. Because when birth pangs started, they were bad enough just with a natural birth, even if the woman had a large pelvis. But they were horrifying when she had a small pelvis. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, why do you have to talk about stuff like this? Because I can. When I was growing up, I couldn't have presented this in a Missionary Baptist church. I know that. But back then, you know what? They didn't dare do that, what I'm doing. If I thought it was wrong, I wouldn't do it. But God indicated that man's knowledge would increase so much in the last chapter of Daniel that nothing, almost nothing, would be withheld from him. Think of what we've got now. And think of how many women have been spared death because of cesarean operations. And think of all the modern wonderful things we've got. And it'll give you an illustration of what they had to go through back then. And women that had children, they had a much different kind of love for them than a man. They either got to appreciate them and respect them and love them and treat them like they should, or they blamed them for all their faults and died with the woman doing all the work, and believe it or not, actually loving the man. Because her desire was toward her husband. Most women don't practice that sort of thing nowadays. They look for success, achievement, a lot of things. Birth pangs were occasionally felt in the earth's crust by seismic shakings during the time of Paul's writings. But Matthew indicated they would increase noticeably before the tribulation period, in a period of time known as the beginning of sorrows. I tell you what, I didn't live through the Second World War, but I know an awful lot about it because my father was in the Normandy invasion and worked on bridges that went across the Rhine. My uncle, Thomas E.U. McElmurray, he set the world record for the number of actual combat flights as an A-36 pilot. An A-36 was the what you know as a Mustang, which was the best plane we had at that time. And it was called an A-36 because they put dive brakes on it. And they would get out and get over a target, and they would come down like a bat out of Hades. And they were very effective at what they did. He lost several of his friends in A-36s. German shot them down. The German Messerschmitt or a Focke-Wulf were about the only ones that could shoot them down. Messerschmitt ME-109 was the best. But they never had anything approach the Mustang. Now, I lived through that. So when I talk about a bloody time and tell people what happened, I lived through World War II. And I went back then and I made a study of World War I. It was even worse. And I said, that is the time that the beginning of sorrows were fulfilled. Am I certain of it? Yes. You say, well, are you going to be in the trouble at the judgment seat of Christ? Don't tell me about that, because I know I am. But what can I do? I just have to do what I have to do. And it's hard for me to understand. But I'm telling you that a lot of people are going to get surprised by this. I mean, they're going to get shocked. Now, in Matthew 24:7-8, for a nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. For all these are the beginning of sorrows. You know, I remember my grandfather thought that, well, everybody in church thought that they were going to, when the rapture occurred, that they were going to be caught out. And a lot of them believed in the seventh trumpet rapture. Some of them didn't. But they believed that you were going to go up. And they didn't understand that that was when God started talking about the great burning mountain, things of that nature, that they were things that people hadn't thought about much. You didn't have to think about it very much. If you just sat down and read those things, you didn't have to know what was causing them. If you sit down and read it, it would scare the pants off of you. You say, are you an authority on the subject? Amen. Because whenever they taught that stuff, I knew there was some more to it than they were teaching. But it was horrifying. And when I learned about the world wars, it was horrifying. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The word translated creation is kiss. That K is pronounced as a K or a Q. Kisisis, which means all that which was created. And in this context, it refers to all that God created, including the world, including the earth, and all that is on it and in it. The last massive groaning and travail in pine by earth occurred when man had reached such a state of utter degradation and ungodly immorality that God deemed it necessary to bring judgment on the human race, and he did it by using his creation, the earth, to bring it to pass. You're going to be a happy bunch when this all starts, because you won't have to wonder about it anymore. You say, well, I don't ever wonder about it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We wonder about a lot of things. But I think this is a special thing that God has revealed to those who try to serve him and who have a great curiosity about him. And they don't change the landmarks. They try to be honest. They fail. They fail. But God did it all. It's always bothered me when I finally realize the difference that they taught in the school and the golden key and the PDQ and the FOB and the CID and the FBI that when Jesus died, he fulfilled the law. How much of it? All of it. That's it. All of it. I was taught that. Lord, I've been taught that in every school I've ever been in. And even some of them that weren't Baptist. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled all the law and the prophets. Okay. When Jesus came as the seed, and Jesus actually died on the cross, shed his blood for us. When Jesus did that, didn't he fulfill all the law? Didn't he fulfill all the law and all the prophets? Why do you separate the two? It shouldn't be separated. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, aren't you afraid of going to hell? No, in no way. Because Jesus, when he was as the seed, when I accepted God's grace and repented of my sins, believe it or not, he did all that for me. For me. And for all who would believe it. You say, well, what if you don't do anything? Well, after you get saved, do you have to keep the law? Do you have to keep the law? I mean, is it a requirement? Or did Jesus fulfill it all? I've listened to this for years, and I listened to it as a boy, and I just could not understand it. They would say, Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. And they'd sing the song, and then they would give the impression that now that he had come and fulfilled the law, they could go to heaven. Well, they're right. If they'll receive him as Savior. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you accepted his grace. And that's your salvation. You say, well, how does that apply to this other? It's the same thing. It was all done by the offspring of God. He asked Peter who he was, and Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. Peter's absolutely right. The first Adam was made a living, the seed, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I've been quickened. Who quickened you? The one who fulfilled all the law, all of it. The one who saved me as a sinner, who did not deserve any mercy, for I was saved by grace through faith. I have a freedom that God gave me. You know what my goal in life is? I want him to put a little pin right here. I want him to put a little nail hole right through here. I want to be his servant forever. You say, well, won't you fail? Yeah, I've already failed. But he succeeded. And I accept that. I accept his blood. I accept his sacrifice. I accept his works. I accept everything about him. He's my Lord, my God, and my Savior. And that's just the way it is. Well, let me see how far I have to go. Well, let's go home.